Theatre Royal podcast.
This is a special series of episodes live from the Edinburgh Fringe.
Well, I mean, we're live.
You're listening to this once we've got around to editing it all.
So unfortunately for some of these episodes, it will just be me doing the interviews, including this one. That's because Jesse unfortunately had to go back to do something called work. Doesn't sound very nice. In this episode, I sat down with a couple of members of Magnificent Bastards, the company behind Shitface Showtime and Shitface Shakespeare, at the Abattoir Bar in the Underbelly, so hope you enjoy.
And now we're joined by the company Magnificent Bastards, who produce Shitface Showtime, so thank you for coming on the show. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, no problem. My name's Katie Gogler. I'm the director and writer of Alice Through the Cocktail Glass.
And I'm Izzy Rowe Wright, and I produce it. I've been producing the show since its inception, and this is our fourth year doing Shitface Showtime.
Fourth year?
Yeah.
So what other shows have you done then?
So we started out with, it was just called Shitface Showtime, yeah. And we kind of did the pastiche musical theatre story,
yeah.
Boy Meets Girls, very much kind of taking the mick out,
yeah.
Of the classic. And then we realised actually there's people don't know what the story is to be sticking to, so we moved to, we did Pirates of Penzance the next year, then we did Wizard of Oz,
yeah.
And Oliver with a Twist. Oh wait, hang on.
So this
fifth year. It all rolls into one because, we are shit-faced most of the time.
So there's also Shit-Faced Shakespeare, and that's been running 10 years.
No, but about 10 years now. They started off in festivals, so
yeah.
Depends where you want to kind of say that. That's when the
officially,
show was
officially
born. But so we joined them. We teamed up with them. And they kind of taught us their ways and how to do it safely.
So that's obviously, for people that don't know the show, what is the show?
Right, so it's taking five actors and getting one of them drunk, and they drink for 4 hours before we go on stage, and then everyone else has to improv around what... What happens, what shenanigans go on.
Yeah, so what we like to say is that it's kind of like a... The first 10 minutes is funny because you've got a completely unpredictable person on stage. You don't know what the hell's going to happen. And then the rest of it is funny because you're watching a group of actors...
Yeah, trying to struggle and get to an ending.
Yeah. So that's, I think people come along kind of thinking, oh, we're just going to watch someone warble around on stage and stumble about, but actually they're watching a group of skilled actors.
Yeah.
Improv.
Yeah, because I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting to be part almost an improv show when I went in. I didn't really know much about it.
Yeah.
But kind of seeing how you all have to follow along. So
there
was a classic bit last night with the caterpillar.
Yes.
So it's okay, we can mark this as explicit
in
this episode. But so the caterpillar decided that it was going to be able to lick its own bottom.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that became a running theme throughout the show.
Yes.
And it was wonderful.
It's so funny. I say I'm the writer of it, but I did not write that.
Yeah.
That's not me.
Just put that down.
How do you go about writing these shows then? Obviously you've got the concept in mind.
Yeah, so we write a 40-minute show, add the songs, and rehearse it as if it's a completely normal show. So, we do all the character building. Anything you would do in a normal show, we really work on that. And then in the last 2 days of rehearsals, we'll put a scenario in. So we'll say, okay, you have to fall in love with Alice, let's say. And the actors have to work around that, obviously.
So not drunk in the rehearsal room.
Not drunk in the rehearsal room, no.
There'll be like an acting drunk, and it'll be a secret.
Yeah.
So no one else in the cast will know.
Mm.
Because it's a 60, it runs at 60 minutes, so then we have 10-minute compare. So you remember the compare at the beginning, who comes out, shows what they've had to drink, explains the rules of the shows, establishes who's in charge, because we do need someone who's kind of looking after that party.
Yeah, we kind of need to get back to the story at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
If we didn't have him here, who knows?
Yeah.
That show would go on for hours.
Yes.
And you do also give the audience a little bit of control over the drunk, that you give out think it was a recorder and a xylophone.
Yes.
Yeah. Does that cause some issues or kind of things?
No, I think it's a great tool because it's always at a point when the audience are finding, okay, this is mental, I don't know what's going on. Ah, I have a recorder.
Yeah.
So they blow the recorder, the show stops, and the compere gives the drunk person a
another
pint of beer. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And then they have to continue with a beer in hand as
yes.
well, which is funny in itself.
Adds to the hilarity.
Yeah.
Trying to watch the man a Cheshire Cat puppet with a beer in their hand.
Yeah.
You know, or do a dance or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you do. You, so in rehearsals, you take it completely seriously.
Really seriously, yeah.
Because you're all professional actors.
Yes, of course.
So how do you get involved with something like this if you're kind of all professionally trained in?
Yeah, good question.
Well,
I'll leave that to you.
Well, I graduated drama school, and to be honest, I was just quite bored. And just not knowing what was going to happen. So
yeah.
It was just me and a girl I went to drama school with called Dora. We talked about it at drama school, and we were like, actually, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Why don't we approach the company? So we did, and they're like, okay, well, let's see if it works. So we did a small showing at the old Red Lion Theatre.
Yeah.
That was when it was born. And then Magnificent Bastard said, yeah, let's do it. Oh, we'll help you produce it and put it on. And then it's been that ever since.
Yeah.
And then I met Katie through her comedy group called Four Femmes on the Thames, who are a musical comedy group. And we just really hit it off.
Yeah.
And I was like, you'd be great in the show. And
yeah, and I was like, okay, I'll do it.
Do you have to know what type of a drunk person someone is? Because that's the most unpredictable element.
Yeah, I guess. But I think
our audition process is quite different to any other
I can imagine so.
Process.
Like,
I mean, we don't get them
sing.
Drunk.
Yeah, no, we don't do that. Hear them sing, watch them act, how are you when you're drunk? It's like,
And we'll just screen them as well. Like, we'll make sure that they're, you know, they've not got a bad history with alcohol. They, you know, there's nothing that would come out of the woodwork, and that they're complete. Because what it takes to make the show work is complete and utter honesty.
Yeah.
And when we're auditioning, we're looking for a group of friends, really.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work.
We've got to get on, be open. We all do. We just had such a blast.
You can see that on stage that
you're
laughing at each other. It's not like, oh, we've done this. It's, this will be fun.
It is so fun.
Because you need that trust. If someone does a rubbish improv or tells it, you know, you have to be able to kind of go, okay, fine.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah. Moving on. Moving on. Usually, a lot of the people we take on are friends of friends,
who we know and have seen drunk, so we know what they're about.
Yeah, because it's not an easy thing.
No.
You're kind of putting yourself out there in the most vulnerable state.
It's sometimes also what you drink is trial and error.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I went on, I had red wine. And I was angry. I was an angry little drunk.
Didn't stop swearing.
No, did not stop swearing. The rules are don't swear.
Don't swear too much.
No.
I think it gets a bit...
Yeah, I ignored that. But then Prosecco, I feel quite lifted on Prosecco, So you've got to change it up a bit if it's not...
So how does it work? So how do you decide who's going to be drinking for this show?
So we like to... I mean, we... spoil the illusion. We don't pick it out of a hat, which lots of people seem to think, which can just be mental.
You ruined it.
In Edinburgh Fringe, like,
it's me again.
Time in a row.
So
we do rotor it. And we have, on stage always a cast of six, but there's actually seven who are up in Edinburgh with us.
Yeah.
One person will compare, and we all know that track.
Yeah.
And then we'll all play different. So, for instance, Katie plays March Hare in Queen of Hearts in this production. I play Alice and Queen of Hearts, so we all rotate, so someone can always have a night off.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have seen one of our performers in last night's show because she had been drinking the night before, so she had a night off
that
night.
You've obviously got to be very hot on welfare with things like that, because it can be a bit of an issue if someone is ill or
having
a bad reaction. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll always do a chat before and make sure they're in the right place.
Yeah.
And if they're not, we'll just like, fine, don't be in the show
someone
tonight,
we'll
do it.
My liver will take the hit,
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll drink today.
Oh, if I must.
But if you are drinking, it is, and I don't want to sound like I'm saying drinking is the best thing in the world, but it is incredibly freeing and the most fun I've ever had on stage.
Yeah, it is so fun. Because you just have license to be the clown.
Yeah.
You're like, go, do what you want, we'll work
and
around.
And you become the sort of the central character.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I find hilarious, is if the little dormouse, if they're the drunk, the show is about a dormouse. It's nothing to do with Alice, nothing to do with anything else. It's their show. And also the compere will stop proceedings if things go a little bit haywire, and they'll go, right, let's get back to the story.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's so fun.
Yeah, and it is kind of like a night off if you're drinking. And if you're drinking that night, well, you know, the show takes a lot for all of the sober cast members, because they have to be there sort of cotton-wooling them all the way through that process. Yeah. It's 4 hours, and the call time for everyone is 4 hours before the show. And we'll be there, and we'll play their music, and it'll be like their birthday party.
Yeah, all eat together.
Because you wouldn't want to be sat there drinking for 4 hours on your own.
No,
quite,
imagine.
Quite sad.
Yeah. Oh, that's a different show.
But yeah, we all sit down and have a meal together at the beginning of the night, and then that's also so important for the company to start to find that group of friends, you know. So that the drink up is probably the most fun part of doing the show.
So you played Alice last night. Have you been drunk Alice? Because I imagine that's quite an interesting one as the central character of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose Alice is kind of, she's never in control of what's happening in each scene, because she doesn't have the information.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, because I've only ever been drunk Alice,
Alice.
Speak for a sober performer.
No, it works just the same as anyone else.
Yeah.
They throw ideas in. The funny thing is when your one, or indeed Flo's one, when they go, sorry, I didn't hear you. Did you say da-da-da? And then you're like, yep, that's what I said, and that's now what we're going with.
Yeah.
So yeah,
a lot of the time people like to kind of throw accents and like different.
You're constantly backstage going, what have they said about the Queen of Hearts? Okay,
great, I'm American.
Oh, the Mad Hatter's a pervert.
As the sober cast, you really do have to pay attention, because it was last night the Cheshire Cat became Grisabella. And that, again, you kind of have to be aware of that and stick with it.
Yeah.
And it's just so bizarre, but...
And the pianist obviously has to follow that as well.
Yeah. Well, as we were just saying before we started recording, that you do seem to have a cult following almost of people that come in and it's instantly cheering and know exactly what's happening. Does that seem to follow... Well, so if you performed outside the Fringe, you take it round. Does that follow you where you go?
Yes, I mean, I think, so we started performing in Leicester Square Theatre about, with Wizard of Oz, so about 3 years ago, and it is a different audience, I suppose, but people, I think, you're hitting different audiences in every way you go, and I think we're still kind of, people are still getting to know us in London, because obviously Shitface Shakespeare is quite big there, but definitely in Edinburgh we've now become sort of a cult, a cult hit.
It's sort of a staple must-see kind of type thing.
Yeah.
Sort of like things like Showstoppers or that.
Exactly.
Which is so lovely, and it's. I remember someone saying to me that, like, when you come and see a Shitface Showtime show, that it's just such a party for them.
Yeah.
It's like where you end the night. It's
it's the
party. And I love that we had a lovely review saying that we were musical for the modern age.
I liked that.
Which is so true.
Yeah.
It's just our audience isn't like, we have theatre goers come to our show, but my brothers hate the theatre. They don't go and watch theatre, but they love coming to see our show. And that's what I enjoy about producing it so much, is that it's for everyone.
Yeah. And you also have the flip side where you've got people that love Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And then people that don't quite like Shakespeare but then come to our show, and then that's what they've got. So
well, that's because
I knew
about the Shitface sort of brand.
Yeah.
And I'm not the biggest Shakespeare fan, and kind of thought, but there's this Alice in Wonderland version. I thought, I'll get that.
That'll
be much more up my street.
Yeah,
it was so much fun. So last night it got a bit weird towards the end of the show. what should happen?
So at the end, there is.
So he came on and he decided that he'd do a talent competition.
Yes.
That never happened.
What should it be?
It should be a trial where the Queen of Hearts accuses Alice of stealing her raspberry tarts.
Right.
Because the White Rabbit can't find them.
Yeah.
So then they hold a trial and they bring in the Mad Hatter as a witness because he was with her earlier in the day. He can't remember. I mean, he talks absolute gibberish, really, doesn't he?
He's nervous
and says, but the Dormouse said, and they said, what did he say? And Alice says, nothing but stuff and nonsense, and the Queen takes that as, aha, you're guilty. And then...
Alice bites the mushroom, which makes her grow.
Yes, so she grows tall, and... everyone goes, oh my god, she's so tall. Okay, you win, and then she wakes up.
Yeah. But last night that didn't happen. Well, we got to the mushroom eventually.
Yes. Yeah.
But you ended up with a talent competition which resulted in, I think, almost all of the cast doing the split. Oh,
yeah, we were very grateful for that.
Yes, very fun. Who can do the best split? And as I was Queen of Hearts, I felt she had to win.
Yeah. So it's interesting as well, because we've also got the structure of the song. So
yes.
For the improvisers, you have to find a way
to get
back
to the song.
That structure. Mm. So I think you kind of went, because she sings Respect.
Yeah.
Aretha Franklin. And,
yeah. Yeah, obviously.
And you're like, what did you say to get in? Oh,
I don't know. Something about don't disrespect me or...
Oh, because you wanted to win the talent competition.
That's the,
yeah.
That was our talent.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. What kind of do you feel? Imagine there's a couple of you go. That's the weirdest thing that's ever happened.
So much weird stuff happens, doesn't it? My favourite one was when the Mad Hatter came on and gave everyone mushrooms, and then we were all high on mushrooms, and then he gave Dinah, which is a puppet cat at the beginning, a really small little cute cat. He gave Dinah a mushroom. And then we brought on the Cheshire Cat and pretended to be that. Oh, that was the funnest ending.
Yeah, that was very fun because we all got to just go.
Yeah, just go mad.
I really liked your one. So Katie was drunk a few nights back and she decided that Queen of Hearts was Baby Jesus. And that Alice was Judas. Cheers, Katie. And you... basically it developed that Alice was Judas reincarnate and that I had to prove that I was now
good.
And she was like, go on, prove you're good. I was like, I give to charity.
I was like, nah.
And then it became that I would go home and tell everyone that Jesus was in fact a woman and therefore overthrow the patriarchy.
Okay. Well, a lot of my drunk shows are feminist propaganda, basically.
But yeah.
Do you ever feel any pressure to be funny though when you're the drunk for the show? Or are you've drunk enough that kind of that's...
Yeah.
I think you definitely do. I think you can't help but know that it's a comedy show.
Yeah.
But what we always say to the drunks is, you know, you're the clown, you're sort of the one that everyone's laughing at, and
you don't have to be funny.
No, because you are drunk
at
the end of the day,
and
everyone around you will support you, and if you're doing something that's not so funny or whatever, someone will move you on, and someone will pick you up, and, you know.
Yeah, you're not out to kind of... get them there. It's a team effort. It's not.
Yeah, everyone says some hilarious lines, and everyone says some hellish floppy lines that are not good, but are equally funny because they flopped.
I think one of my favourite moments from last night was when the cast first come on the stage. You're watching them all trying to work out which one it is that's drunk.
That's always the plan, to get the choreography for the first number. Is to have them all on stage looking out where the audience are kind of going, you, is it you? Is it you? Oh no, it's definitely.
I just love that sort of like little tickles of laughs coming from different directions.
Yeah.
And you, as a sober performer, are kind of going, what the hell are they doing? You know, you can't see.
And like, but I love that lineup. It is hilarious going, which one? We've already planned out our next one for A Christmas Carol when they come out. And they're just... lightings and all of that.
Yeah, because we're doing London again later, and we'll be doing Christmas Carol, which will be Shitface Shakespeare and Showtime
merging.
Oh, so bigger cast, is that?
Or? Be same size cast, but some from Shakespeare, some from Showtime, and because it's like that Christmassy feel. We're trying to make it a horror show.
Yeah, we want to make it scary, scary funny.
Yeah, obviously so it'll be funny because it's drunk and stuff. Yeah. But yeah. So,
yeah, it's not going to be your classic Christmas show, but hopefully a good alternative to your panto.
Yes.
That you usually go and see. So,
it's behind you.
Yeah. We're really excited.
So where's that being performed?
Leicester Square Theatre, and that's from the 20th of November to the 5th of January.
And what other plans do you have for the show, kind of beyond Fringe and beyond that? Is it kind of...
Well, that's our next project, so that's the big one coming up.
We want to take it international. Shitface Shakespeare are already established in America and Australia. Yeah. I know that definitely an American tour is... Yeah. Very much on the cards.
Yeah.
Possibly an Australian tour in the new year. But we're not sure about that yet. But we know that we've done Edinburgh Fringe for 5 years now.
Yes, so we've established.
And yeah, we're ready to take it to new audiences and, you know, build our audience in other places.
And also with this merge, it might take us somewhere else.
Yeah.
With that. I don't know. We go, ooh, okay, that works. We could do that in another show.
Yeah.
When you approach a venue and you kind of explain the concept, are they there like going, ooh, risk assessment, like,
this is for producer.
Well, we have quite a... The venues that we work in, because obviously it's a very specific show with specific needs. You know, we always... After the show, we always have water hour, and we need somewhere to look after them, and we need a venue that's going to be supportive of that. And also, you know, the drink up, we need to know that there's somewhere that person can be looked after. And I think Underbelly, Shakespeare were already doing shows at Underbelly before, so they very much knew what they were getting with Showtime, and I wasn't part of that discussion. But and the same for Leicester Square.
Leicester Square's great.
But we always tend to use the same venues because we know.
Yeah.
Apart from Shakespeare, are going to be doing a tour in November and December, so they'll be going to places like Sheffield and Lancaster, Nottingham. Yeah. So that will be interesting, I think. Bound and Gagged is produced by Bound and Gagged, so that will be part of their discussion, I suppose.
So it is an odd one. It's somewhat as a venue manager or whatever, it's kind of sitting there going,
what's going on?
Am I going to have to be mopping up the stage kind of thing?
Yeah, so that is the job of the compere.
Yeah.
But, I mean, beer does get on the stage, it gets a bit sticky. And there are, you know, tricks of the trade that we don't really kind of divulge in because it's what makes us special.
Yeah.
But we've got a handbook about a thumb thick of how to do this show safely, and we'll always hand that over to the venue and, you know, details and risk assessments and, you know. So, yeah, it's controlled. It is controlled fun, really.
Controlled anarchy.
Controlled anarchy, exactly. That's what we like to say, because it is completely unpredictable. We never know what's going to happen, but there is a real safety element behind the scenes.
Yeah,
there.
You seem to have got the format kind of really nailed down.
It works. Yeah. It works.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not very rock and roll to
know.
Like sat backstage.
No, we're all mad.
But that's what we take pride in the most, is how well looked after our casts are and, you know, how much we care.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't work if not, you know.
There has to be that trust.
Definitely. Definitely.
So, as a final question, what is your go-to drink for the show, before the show? It's your turn.
Mine's Prosecco, so I have a bottle and a half or two bottles of Prosecco. Depends on what day is.
Yeah.
I just love a Prosecco.
It works for you.
Yeah, I wanted to do something stupid. I wanted to do all the little miniatures, you know, but I don't know how I'd react.
And I was like, no, Katie, that sounds expensive.
That sounds expensive, and you will be mental. You're always a
I always
a
go
beer
for gin.
And gin.
Yeah, beer and gin. I used to do rum and I used to do vodka soda, but you just start to, you know.
Yeah.
I drink gin actually most of the time now anyway, so I think I'd feel funny doing anything else.
Yeah, I'm not going to go back to the red wine.
Yeah, that is.
Even last night in here, I went insane.
Sat right where you're sat.
Does it feel weird drinking when you're not working then? Does it take the fun away from it?
No,
definitely not. I think you come off stage
and we toast
the audience at the end with beers in our hands. You've walked off stage and you've got a beer in your hand, so you're like, well, I'm going to crack on.
Yeah.
And you just watch your friend have the most fun ever. You kind of want to join them.
You're all on a high. It's such a weird thing. But right at the end, because you're sweating, you're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? How are we going to wrap this up? This is mad. And then as soon as you get the beer, that is a delicious moment.
Yeah.
And I always go,
pour it down
that was
the
a look. Sorry, I did a look that you can't see on podcast.
Amazing. We'll wrap it up there. But thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank
and all
you.
The best
for
having us. Epistemus Carol.
Yes.
I think I'll be saying that. but yeah, all the best with the rest of the run and everything.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode.
If you're a first-time listener, then we've got plenty of other episodes for you to go back to. Please give us a nice review and tell your friends and family where to find us.
See you soon. Bye.